John chapter 18, verse number 3. It says, Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. I want you to go back up to verse number 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered, and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Let's pray and we'll get into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord. I pray that you would help this service to be used to honor and glorify you. I pray that if anybody here today is saved or is not saved and Lord, needs to get that settled, I pray that you would bring the conviction and, Lord, that they would get that settled today. I pray that if anybody here just needs the help that we can get from your word this morning, I pray that we would all be willing to take that in as well. In Jesus' name, amen. So this passage here, it's Judas, and obviously you saw the kind of the culmination of Judas betraying Jesus Christ there in verse number 3. He comes with lanterns and torches and weapons, and that moment was finally going to arrive. But if you back up a little bit, Judas was one of the 12 disciples called by Jesus, which we'll kind of talk about that a little more in a minute, but one of the disciples, and he had decided that he was going to turn in our Savior. And to do so, he wasn't just going to, kill him himself or anything like that. He was going to turn him in to the Pharisees. And these men had wanted Jesus dead for a long time. The Bible accounts different times where they had tried to, they wanted to push him off a mountain or they wanted to stone him. And Jesus had escaped those times. And finally, one of his own was coming to turn him in. The Bible tells us when Judas showed up that those chief priests and Pharisees were glad. They were excited. They wanted him gone. And, this specific moment that he's going and he's turning him in, and the words that really jump out of the page here are two words, Judas knew. Judas knew. And what we're going to talk about, we're going to lay a groundwork that really Judas knew a lot of things. But this first one here that we see is that Judas knew the place. He had no trouble finding Jesus. You put yourself in Judas's shoes for a moment. He goes, he agrees upon a price for Jesus, and he tells them, I'm going to tell you where he's at. We'll make all of the accommodations, and when the time is right, I'm going to turn him in. I'm going to betray him with a kiss. And just imagine for a second that they go, and they've made all these preparations. They've got all these men together. It's nighttime. They're fired up about it. They've wanted to get this done for a while. And then imagine for a second if they'd showed up, and Judas says he's going to be here. Everybody gets there, and Jesus wasn't there. Well, that would have been a rough night for Judas. You know, they didn't like Jesus. Obviously, they wanted to take him and kill him, but they didn't like his disciples either. And if Judas had not been able to fulfill this promise, he would have been in for a rough night, if not having his own life taken. But Judas did know the place. The Bible says he had resorted there oftentimes with his disciples to pray. Jesus had been there and even prayed there with Judas. And Judas, we know how his life, how it came to an end, but Judas knew a lot of things. He knew the places of God. He had no trouble finding Jesus. You know, he had been there, and it says that he had prayed there with the disciples. You know, when you and I pray, Lord willing, you've gotten to a point where we recognize that we're not just praying to say things out loud, but God hears our prayers. But you know, even every now and then, we're human, we're flesh, and that little bit of doubt comes in. Like, man, is God hearing me right now? But imagine getting to pray with Jesus himself, knowing every word that you're praying, that not only is getting to God, but if Jesus is the one praying, spoken by God to God. And just the getting to be there in the place with Jesus Christ. Judas knew the places. You know what, Matthew, you don't have to turn to all these. Matthew 14, 19 through 20 tells us that Judas also knew the pleasures of serving God. It says, and he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples. Okay, so Judas was there. And the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. Over and over again, as the disciples were with Jesus, they marveled at the works that he did. Just imagine that and this dilemma that these people need to eat and there's not enough food and they come. And most of you probably know the story, but Jesus says, I'll take care of it. And he starts to break and the first disciple takes his batch and over and over and over until all of these thousands of people are fed with what wasn't enough except that Jesus had multiplied this food. And Judas got to see not only and know the places of God, but he knew the pleasure of serving God. Acts chapter 1 and verse 17, for he was numbered with us and had obtained a part of this ministry. Do you know what that tells us? That means that Judas knew the people of God. Just as each of the other disciples, he was called by Jesus himself. That means they got to travel together. You know, anybody got a good story from traveling? You know, some of the strongest bonds you can form is being on the road with somebody else. You know, I remember my wife and I, when we got married, at some point in our honeymoon, we had an 8-hour drive. And we didn't fight one time, you know, not one time on the whole 8-hour drive, right? And, and as much as sometimes, you know, arguments can happen, bonds are formed on a trip. If you were a teenager going to youth conference or camp and you're in that van ride for all those hours, some of the greatest memories, some of the greatest and close-knit friendships that you have are from making those trips together. And as the disciples did that and they traveled around, not only getting to serve together, what you've heard it saying, families that serve together, stay together, families that pray together, stay together. But not only did they get to travel and minister together, but he got to do it with Jesus. He knew the people of God. They loved each other. You know, Jesus, right before he died, he spoke of his coming betrayal, and he says, one of you is going to betray me. These men loved each other so much, instead of pointing fingers, all of them asked, is it I? And we'll come back to that thought later on, but Judas knew the people of God. That verse that had obtained a part of this ministry, you know what that means? That means he also knew the power of God. He held a position in the ministry of Jesus Christ. You know, I'm going to pastor a church because God's called me to, but I would have loved to be an assistant pastor, especially a youth pastor. Just getting to have fun and act like a teenager and get paid to do so, right? I think that'd be great. But you know what? Imagine getting to be an assistant in the ministry of Jesus Christ himself. He knew the power of God. He watched as Jesus made the lame to walk, caused the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak. He witnessed on full display the power of Jesus Christ. Judas knew the power. You know, Luke chapter 16 and verse number 1 begins with, and he said also unto his disciples. Later on in the verse, he's still speaking to them, but of the rich man and Lazarus. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. By the way, one did rise from the dead, and many people still aren't persuaded, right? But Matthew 26:24, Jesus was talking to his disciples. He said, the Son of Man goeth, as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. You know, all these things we're talking about that Judas knew, but Judas knew the penalty. He knew that if he went forward with this plan and he never got saved, he was going to end up in hell. The Bible tells us that if we do not put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, there's no purgatory where our aunt and uncle can give money to help us get into heaven. There's no in between. We either go to heaven or hell. And if we die without Jesus Christ, the Bible says we'll end up in hell. And if anyone knew that, it was Judas. What was Jesus' message? Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Right? And we know that Judas knew the penalty. With that, Matthew 14:14-16 says, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. You know what Judas knew? He knew the pity of Jesus Christ. After working all day long and really having satisfied everyone's expectations. It says, when it was evening, right? And that would have been the time that everybody could go home. It would have been fine. Jesus had been working and tiring and laboring all day. He owed nothing else to these people, but instead of sending them away, he said, give ye them to eat. Judas experienced the pity of Jesus Christ. Not long before his betrayal, Jesus washed the feet of every disciple, including Judas Iscariot. Think about this. Even as Judas approached Jesus Christ to betray him with a kiss, what did Jesus call him? friend. Judas knew the pity of Jesus Christ. One more here. Judas knew the possibility of repentance. Judas knew that Jesus' message to the world was to trust Jesus Christ to be their Savior, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Should Judas have trusted Jesus Christ to be his Savior, he could have been saved like anyone else. He knew the possibility of salvation. Judas had it all. But you and I likely know how his story ended. But just in case, turn to Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter 1. Verse number 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, the scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained a part of this ministry. Now this man purchased the field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. Judas ended up taking his own life. He ended his life with a rope around his neck and his body splattered on the ground. And you ask yourself, how could someone with so much access and opportunity and privilege make the choice that Judas made? And you know, the natural step that you take as a preacher is kind of to put someone in the shoes of the person in the Bible that you're speaking about, but I don't really have to force that comparison. See, because just like Judas had all those things, so do we. Well, what do you mean? Well, just like Judas, we know the places of God. We know the places of God. Have you some places where God has met with you? You ever heard the Word of God preached and the conviction came and you came down to this altar and met with God? Man, I've got some places on the corner of 27th and Jackson in Anderson, Indiana, where I was saved by Jesus Christ. Or up on the altar at Northwest Bible Baptist Church, where we took a vow, me and my wife, before God in marriage. And you know what? If you've been saved and the Lord has worked in your life, you've got some places and you know the places of God. How about the pleasure of God? You ever experience any of that? You know, there's no joy in life like serving the Lord. And getting to go out soul winning and seeing somebody saved, and then they come to church and they hear God's word preached and they begin to grow, and seeing a life that was in vain and vanity and pride being changed and made into the image of God. Isn't it amazing to the pleasure of God? How about the pity? Anybody in the room ever experienced the pity of Jesus Christ? You know, you saw in that video, I got saved through the bus ministry when I was 13 years old. I wasn't searching for God. I wouldn't have even known what doing that would look like. I lived out in the country. Nobody would have ever knocked on my door, but I just so happened to be in a place where a soul winner came, and he led me to the Lord. You know, I remember one Christmas, I was opening up my gifts, and I used to like wrestling, okay? I used to, past tense, right? I used to like WWE, okay? That was my thing. And I remember I was opening up my gifts, and I got this wrestling, his name was Rey Mysterio. Okay, he's like a luchador. I remember opening that up. I was excited. And you keep going, opening. And a few presents later, I opened up another one. And this present was the same exact figure of Rey Mysterio. And I was thinking to myself, man, how did that happen? Well, you know, looking back in the years and finding things out later on, that year we were one of the recipients of those toy drives, right? And what's my point of bringing that up? Not a sob story. But you know what? I wasn't looking for God. I had nothing to offer him. By the way, I still don't. But for some reason, Jesus Christ had some pity on me. And he reached way down to save me and change my life. And you know what? If you're here in the room today, I don't know your story, but Jesus had some pity on you. Judas knew the pity. We know the pity. How about the power of God? Anybody in this church experienced the power of God? You know, I know on our prayer list at Northwest Bible Baptist Church every week, Pastor Jerry Ross's name is on there. And I know Pastor Ross has been going through a lot of things, but we've seen the power of God involved in that, haven't we, Pastor Ross? Or maybe you know somebody. You know, I remember Brother Lewis. That's what we call him today. But I remember when Lewis was just Lewis. And I think for 20 years before I ever got saved, his stepdaughter was praying that he would get saved. And I joined in about 20 years in. And as I'm coming to church and they take prayer requests, she'd say, pray for my stepdad, Lewis. He needs to be saved. And he'd come to church, and he would raise his hand for salvation, but he wouldn't come forward. He wouldn't make that decision to get saved. And then I remember finally the day when he came in and the word of God was preached and the invitation came and he came forward and he trusted Jesus Christ to be his Savior. And now when I go home, I get to call him Brother Lewis. And isn't it exciting to see the power of God on full display? And you and I, just like Judas, we know the power of God. How about this? The penalty and the possibility. The gospel is preached here every single week. Somebody, Lord willing, is giving it to you. If not, it's as simple. The gospel in a nutshell is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If we die in our sin, we deserve to go to hell. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, died for our sin. He didn't have any sin to die for. He died for our sin. If we put our faith and trust in him to save us, he will. And he'll take us to heaven when we die for all eternity. Just like Judas, we know the penalty and the possibility. Just like Judas, we have it all. You have it all. We know all the things. But the reality is this. No matter where I'm at, there were people that were in this church, maybe even in your pew, perhaps even in your same seat, that knew all those same things. They had all the access and the privilege that we have as Christians today, but their life today is a wreck. Maybe they haven't taken their own life. Maybe they're still alive, but you know what? Their relationships are dead. Some of the joy that they used to have in their life, that's gone. And when we reject Jesus Christ, it leads to death and all the things around us. You know, God forbid you go through all that and never trust Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Not only has our life become a wreck, but we would end up in hell. And, really all of that brings us to the one point today. You know, we think that it won't be us. You know, by the way, when we think of Judas, we think of, or someone to be like Judas, we think of a scorner. You know, the person, when you knock on their door, they cuss you out and tell you to never come again. But, you know, Judas looked a whole lot more like a deacon. It looked a whole lot more like a faithful church member, okay? And, we think it wouldn't be us, but I want to pose the exact same question asked by the disciples. Here in the Bible it says, "Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to point at Judas." That's not what it says. "And began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I?" That's the one point today is this. Is it you? Is it I? Would we all be humble enough here in just a little bit as the invitation will come and to come forward and genuinely ask the Lord, Lord, is it I? Not only willing to ask, but willing to hear his answer and willing to make a decision based upon that answer. See, because this is what we do as Christians. We know and we are aware of some things that need to change. Whether it's something we're doing that we shouldn't be doing or something that we're not doing that we know we should be doing, we know it's a problem. And we live oftentimes intending to address that issue. But I want you to ask yourself, what is that thing that I intend to address that never bears fruit past being an intention? That if it is left in that state, wanting to do it but having never done it, what's going to be the end result? That lust that's going to destroy your marriage? That gambling that's going to ruin your finances? You fill in the blanks. But willing, humble enough this morning to come before the Lord and ask, Lord, is it I? Is it you? If we could just step back today, you know, the Bible talks about being circumspect. If we could step back today, genuinely, humbly asking ourselves, Lord, is it I? And, you think if just for a moment, Judas, having gone through all that, the possibility of salvation was there for Judas until the day he died. And by the way, it's still there for you today, too. Maybe you've lived this whole life and you've been sitting even in the pews for a while and you've heard it preached. You know how to be saved. You've maybe even led somebody else to the Lord. But you know what? Maybe just like Judas, you've never gotten to that point. You looked the part, you dressed the part, but you've never trusted Jesus Christ to be your own Savior. And by the way, I'll add this one last thing. I'll be done. You know, while Judas was preparing to betray Jesus Christ, what were Peter, James, and John doing? They were sleeping in the garden. And you know what? Not everybody's going to turn out like Judas and betray Jesus Christ and be unsaved. But some of us as Christians are still not doing what we could be doing to serve the Lord. And maybe just asking ourselves that same question, Lord, is it I, would change the rest of our year, maybe even the rest of our life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today, Lord, the privilege it is to get to preach from your word. I pray that we would recognize, Lord, all the things that you provided for us, Lord, to see your power, to see all the things that you do for us, Lord. And I pray that we'd recognize that today, and that if there's any of us here, Lord, that wouldn't know you as our personal Savior, that we'd be humble enough to ask somebody how we can know that, that they could show us from the Bible. Lord, or if there's something in our life that just needs taken care of, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to find out what that is and be humble enough to address it in the way that you would see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.